So we are continuing this morning with our series about the heart of a disciple, becoming a disciple-making church. We've been looking at these questions surrounding discipleship, the whys, the hows, the whats. And now this morning we're going to be looking at the where. Where are disciples made? We've seen throughout this series that discipleship is about following Jesus. It's about learning Him and growing in Him. It's about being transformed by Him and joining Him in His mission in the world. And we grow as disciples through our engagement with the Word of God, through the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts as we share with one another our lives of faith. It's a journey, a path that includes the moment from conversion to the end of our lives. But it's an exciting journey that the Lord has called us to. And so it's exciting to think about our own growth as disciples of Jesus, but what God is doing is He calls us together to help one another grow. So this morning, we're going to be talking about the wares of disciple-making or where disciples are made. But in order to get to that question, I want to hit on three kind of truths that are important for us to understand and really believe as we enter into this, because it will shape the way that we understand the wares if we understand some of these other things more clearly. This is things that we have gotten a little bit in these last sermons, but are important to make clear. And so as we think about becoming disciples, to make disciples, these truths kind of guide us in what this means. First, being a disciple and making disciples is a lifestyle, not a program. It's a lifestyle, not a program. It's a kind of a personal culture shift, something that impacts our entire lives. It's easy sometimes to compartmentalize life, and discipleship isn't any different. That in the past, when churches talk about discipleship, it's almost synonymous with adult ministries, or with the new Bible study that's taking place, or new Sunday school curriculum. It's program-oriented. And that's got us thinking that to be a disciple or to grow as a disciple looks more like going to class, more like going to an event. But it's not. For those of you who are teachers, who are really all of you who have gone to school at one point in your life or are still in school today, the classroom environment is a place where teachers come and they pour their lives into you. They pour their knowledge into you. They are wanting to give children the tools that they need to grow and be successful in this life, to know how to accomplish various tasks and have the information that they need to make it through. But I think that you would find that most teachers feel like it's more than just about the classroom, or more than just about the information that's being learned in the year that student is under their care. Teachers want to develop in their students this lifestyle, this attitude of lifelong learning. Something that isn't just done in the classroom and then doesn't take place anywhere else, but that is part of every aspect of a child's life. And so to be successful, it's not necessarily getting from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, but it's about developing an inquisitiveness, interest in life, a mindset that wants to explore and engage. To the point where if a student gets to the end of high school or college or whatever stage they go to and then say, I am done learning, I have no interest in continuing to grow, then many would see that as a failure. That culture, that attitude hasn't been cultivated. The same is true with discipleship, that we come to church on Sunday morning, we attend classes, we're in small groups, we do all these things, but the point of all of those things is to equip us, to develop us so that we have an attitude of discipleship, a desire to be disciples and make disciples in all aspects of life. It doesn't end when we step outside this door that we have our church life and then our normal life. Our place where we are discipled and the place where we do the other stuff. It all goes hand in hand. And so it's not a program. We have to make sure that we have this in mind as we think about discipleship. Every aspect of life is a place where disciples can grow and be made. Second truth is this: growing as disciples and making disciples is for every Christian. It's for every Christian. Again, I think that this has come through in the other sermons that have been preached, but it's important to keep in mind because it is very, very easy to think that I have to be a certain person. I have to know certain things or do certain things or have experienced certain things in order to make disciples. And so we get in our minds that I'm just not far enough along in my faith journey to do some of this stuff. I should focus on myself first. In our society, this is how things work. Tomorrow, someone is coming to our house to move our gas line from out in the middle of the lawn where there was the old heater was, and going to move it to the house. And when we think about who needs to do that, well, we look at this differentiation between amateur and professional. I want a professional to come and move the gas. I don't want an amateur to do it. If I have an amateur do it, there's a potential that my house will blow up, that the parsonage will be no more. And that would be a bad thing. And so in life, when we're looking at people like in skilled professions, which most are, we want someone who knows what they're talking about, knows what they're doing. They need to have skills and abilities that help them accomplish the task well. Many of us feel like we're still amateur Christians, and we wouldn't feel very comfortable saying that we're professional Christians yet, or at least not to the level of skill that a professional Christian should have. But the reality is that making disciples isn't for professional Christians. It's not for the best of the best, some elite group, but it's for everyone. If you come to faith, the moment you come to faith and have an encounter with Christ, the moment the Holy Spirit comes on your heart and starts to transform you and you're born again, in that moment, you have something that you can share with another person. You have encountered God. You've seen Him at work, and this is information that can help others grow as disciples on day one. Sure, there's more to learn. Sure, there's more that you need to be growing in, but it doesn't mean that you can't start. And the reality is that if we wait to be, in our minds, totally equipped, totally prepared, have all the knowledge that we need, we're never going to do it. We'll never make disciples because we'll never feel confident enough. We'll never feel like we're professionals. The thing is, though, that when we take this attitude, we forget something, and that is that when it comes to disciple making, we're actually not the ones doing it. That actually we have the professional with us, the Holy Spirit. It's God who's making disciples. It's God who's transforming hearts. It's God who is taking our words and making them have an impact. All God asks us to do is speak. All he asks us to do is act, and he'll do the rest. And so if you ever feel like you lack confidence, if you ever feel like you don't know enough to make disciples, remember that in all of this conversation, it is for each and every one of us to be thinking about disciple making. Thirdly, being a disciple maker is about seeing differently, about seeing the world around us differently. Rather than from our perspective, we look at it from God's perspective. I know I wear glasses on a regular basis, and if I take them off, everything's blurry. I can see you're there. My kids don't believe it sometimes, but I can see you're there. But every year, you get fuzzier and fuzzier if I don't have my glasses on. But my glasses help me to see, and they help me to see what is really in front of me. And as Christians, we need to put on our glasses to see like God sees, to see what is really there rather than the fuzziness that is around us on a regular basis. And the way that God sees is that he wants us to change our focus. Well, the thing is that when we have our glasses off, when we don't see from God's perspective, the thing that's in focus is actually the thing that is closest to us. It's ourselves. We're the center of attention. We're the center of our world. That comes into our disciple making, or our disciple, or our mindset when we come to different places that are prepared for us to grow. So we come to church, if we don't have our God glasses on, if we don't have his perspective in our mind, we come to church and what are the things we think about? How am I going to grow today? How am I going to be fed? What is there going to be for me? Am I going to like everything that is going on? It's me, me, me. When we focus on me, 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 all that we're left with almost 100% of the time is disappointment. We leave going, that wasn't quite as good as I was hoping. That wasn't quite as filling as I needed. That wasn't quite as much new information as I was planning on getting this morning. It fell short of my expectations. But what happens when we have that focus is that really we end up not getting very much out of it. Even though we're focused on trying to get as much out of it as possible for ourselves. The thing is, though, if we see it from God's perspective, we see others first. They become the focus in our mind. That as we focus on others, our mindset shifts from how can I grow, what can I get, to how can I help someone else grow? How can I help them get more out of this morning? How can I help them grow in their faith? How can I serve and give so that the body of Christ might be built up? Whether it's here on a Sunday morning or whether that's out there somewhere else. And what we find is that when we actually give towards others, when we're actually focused on them, we have more joy. We have more life to us. We find ourselves growing more than we would otherwise because we are engaged in reaching out rather than turning inward and focusing only on ourselves. So these three truths are incredibly important as we come to think about where disciples are made. The fact that discipleship is a lifestyle, it shapes every part of our life, that discipleship is for everyone, or disciple making is for everyone, that there's no one who is so amateur in their faith that they can't start to make disciples, and that we need to see this different perspective, God's perspective, that's others focused. So where are disciples made? If we have these things in our mind, we can bring them into these different areas of our lives. The first is the disciples are made at church. Here, disciples are made when we enter this building. We see that in the Bible, oftentimes, or almost 100% of the time, when it talks about the community of faith coming together, when it comes to, talks about the body of Christ joining as the church, it focuses primarily on how we are helping one another grow, rather than how one individual is taking for themselves. When we come to church, we have an opportunity to give of ourselves for the sake of others, to encourage them, to build them up in faith. In Hebrews 10, 24 through 25, it says this: let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Colossians 3:16 says something similar: let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all wisdom, all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Teach each other. Counsel each other. Pray for each other. Spur one another on. These messages are what we hear about life in the body of Christ is like, rather than coming with the mentality of what can I get. When you walk through the doors of this church, I want to challenge you to think, how can I make disciples today? How can I make disciples today? How can I encourage someone? How can I pray with someone? How can I share what God's doing in my life with someone? How can I serve? Each one of you, as you walk in on Sunday morning, is capable of doing that. And if we all are, those of you who feel like your week has been exhausting, like you don't have energy left, well, you'll be surrounded with all sorts of people who will build you up and encourage you and give you just what you need. Hope in Christ. And that will spur you on to look outward and to give back to others. We can look at how to make disciples while we're doing all sorts of things in church. While we're sitting and listening to the sermon, we can do it while we're in the fellowship hall, eating food together, fellowshipping over a meal or over coffee. We can do it while we're studying the Bible together. Each and every moment of our day here as the body of Christ is about discipling and growing as disciples. Again, it's not a matter of, well, now we have our CE time starting up, better go get discipled. Or now the sermon's starting, better get discipled. But each and every moment of the day on a Sunday morning has the opportunity for making disciples. And each one of you has the ability to do that. Again, we've talked about discipleship, disciple making as something about moving people towards Christ, moving people to the right, building them up in faith. It can be little ways, but those little ways add up to draw us into deeper maturity and faith. Next place we can look at for discipling is our homes. And many of you do this already, but the same kind of idea that when you walk in your house, when you look at your kids, when you look at your grandkids, when you look at your spouse, when you think about friends that are coming over later in the day, do you see your home as a place for making disciples? It can be. To walk in the door and say, or how am I going to help people grow today? How am I going to encourage my family today? To get up out of bed and say, how can I bless those who are here? It changes the way that we think. Looking at each opportunity as a place for the Holy Spirit to enter into our lives and to use us. we can look at home life in much the same way as church life, and that it's easy to compartmentalize prayer time or personal Bible study time and then get that done and move on with the rest of our day. But really, making disciples and becoming a disciple at home, again, is something that happens in every moment of the day. So it can look like praying together as a family. It can look like sharing stories around the table about how can I pray for you? How have you seen God at work in your life today? Sharing a story from the Bible and talking about it. Talking about concerns or needs and praying together and encouraging one another with God's word. Discipleship can even happen at the store when things seem to be chaotic and out of control and you are frustrated. They're opportunities, both for us individually to grow as disciples, but also to help encourage those around us, our kids or grandkids or others around us in their faith, to help them see life through God's eyes and from a Christian standpoint. All of this helps them grow. And so we see in Deuteronomy 6:7, and I jumped ahead with pictures, so go back to Deuteronomy 6:7. It says, "And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly." These are the words we heard earlier, to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. This idea that building up our families in Christ is just an ongoing, every moment of every day experience. Something that we can invest in and find joy in. But it takes intention. It takes purpose because we're filled with busyness. And it doesn't mean setting aside everything. It means looking for opportunities to step back and engage with Christ, but it's also ways that you bring Christ into all the busyness of your life, the things that you're doing. How does he become the center? The last place is just to take care of everywhere else. Disciples are made anywhere. They're made at home, they're made at church, but they're really made anywhere where other disciples are sharing God's word, are sharing stories of God's work in their life, where they're building one another up in faith. That might look like sharing your faith with someone who doesn't know Christ and encouraging them to think more about spiritual things and more about God and what he's done for them. It might look like encouraging someone who is already a Christian and just building them up and coming alongside of them to help them grow in faith or even just in little conversations about what God is doing for them. There are things that can happen at coffee, at playing golf, fishing. It can happen anywhere. Or shopping together. Anywhere where conversation can take place is an opportunity to build others in Christ, to make disciples. In Matthew 28:19-20, we see that Jesus gives the Great Commission, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you." The word "go" here is a Greek word that means "go," but it means as you are going, as you are on the way, make disciples. Jesus is sending out his disciples and saying, as you live your life, as you're going from town to town, as you're engaging in this fallen world, make disciples wherever you are, in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. And it's that same message to us as we go to work, as we go to school, as we're playing with our friends? How can I make a disciple today? How can I help someone grow just a little more? How can God use me? How can I be attentive to the Spirit in my life? These are questions that we ask. We have an opportunity every moment of every day to join in with what God is doing. We have an opportunity right now. We have an opportunity when you go home, when your week begins. And the question is, are you going to take advantage of that opportunity, or are you going to let those opportunities slip by? Are you going to engage, or are you going to disengage? Are you going to let Christ change your heart and that lifestyle, that culture that is within you? Or will you put God in a box and compartmentalize him into certain sections of your day and leave him out of the rest? This isn't something that, as much as it sounds like a lot, I think that what we'll find as we engage with God more, as we bring him into our lives more, it really just becomes natural. It becomes part of who we are as followers of Christ. We're people who share about Christ, who share what Christ is doing, who share from Christ's word, not in a way that makes us weird or makes it uncomfortable or makes people feel like, well, that's all they ever talk about, I don't want to be around them, but in a way that's natural and at ease and calm. Just as we would share what's going on in football or what's going on in the lives of our kids or whatever it might be that we talk about every single day. And so I just want to encourage you to think about each and every part of your life as a place where you can start to make disciples. I want to just give us some time to go before the Lord and just ask him how he wants to speak to us through this sermon this morning, whether there's an area of our lives where we're holding back, where we feel like, you know, this whole disciple-making thing is good for everybody else, but I don't really want to engage in that right now, or I don't have the time or the energy or the desire. Or maybe you are engaging already and you feel like, you know, God, I want to do more, or I feel like I'm doing so much already. Help me to understand how all of this fits into my life. Listen for the conviction of the Spirit. Listen for the encouragement of the Spirit. Listen for God to speak. So I just want to spend a few seconds in silent prayer for you to go before the Lord and respond to him. And then I'll close us in prayer. Lord, thank you that you have called us to be your disciples and that call is a call to make disciples as well. Lord, we pray that you would help us to see the world through your perspective, to look at others and the ways that we can serve them no matter where we are. Help us to practice here at church. Help us to make it more of a priority at home and use us in every way you can, that your name might be glorified and that people might know you and grow in you more. Lord, we thank you for the fact that you will never leave us or forsake us, but you're with us every step of the way. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.